Penguin Random House Audio presents In Light Years There's No Hurry, Cosmic Perspectives on Everyday Life by Marjolein van Heemstra. Translated by Jonathan Reeder. Read for you by Munya Dama. Chapter 1. Longing for an Overview. It's the hottest summer on record. Everything feels clammy. The sheets, my pillowcase, David's legs. My phone screen reads 3:32 a.m., which means I've been lying awake for 4.5 hours now. A new record. I listen to the fan whirring at top speed. A rhythmic whoosh, whoosh. It does nothing to cool us down, but at least it gets the air moving and keeps the relentless mosquitoes at bay. David, the man who has been my fiancé for years, shifts restlessly in his sleep. In the next room, our children lie sweating in their beds. The bedroom window is open, as are all the windows on the open square our house looks out onto. Everyone is hoping to catch some breeze in their stuffy apartment. The last night owls have gone to bed. The early birds haven't woken up yet. It is that indeterminate time officially called morning, but that still feels like night. An in-between time. The pause between breaths. I should get up, make use of this scarce moment of quiet. Answer emails, pay bills, write a poem. But instead, I scroll through the stories on my Instagram account. Snippets of anger and indignation alternating with flashes of self-promotion. Poetry and police brutality. Rave reviews and ranting op-eds. Recipes for vegan kebab followed by a takedown of the patriarchy. I tap hearts and thumbs ups and share until my head spins from all the battles that need to be fought. We're only halfway through, but this year, 2019, has already been dubbed the year of protest. School climate strikes, the Yellow Vest movement in France, street demonstrations in Hong Kong, Sudan, America. It is also the year of divisiveness. A study released this week shows that Europe has never before been so politically polarized. A front door slams. Bob, probably. My downstairs neighbor leaves at the most ungodly hours for his volunteer work for the Red Cross. Event first aid. Visits to the housebound. Bob, the best neighbor I've ever had, but also one I feel awkward around. Because of his overt nostalgia for the good old days in a district now being taken over by people like David and me. Double income, electric cargo bike riding latte drinkers whose hip coffee joints have elbowed out the Turkish tea houses. Schism at sidewalk level. 3:42 a.m., my smartphone says now, although I could swear it's been at least half an hour since I last looked. Ping. A notification. An American activist I follow on Instagram is about to go live. I click and watch. We live in broken communities, she says. I toss a hand clapping emoji into the live stream for that word. Brokenness. It's exactly what I feel. I swipe through the stories again, open a link to a video about ecocide in the Amazon. 2.5 acres of rainforest are cut down every second, says the voiceover. I count to 10. 25 acres. I try to calculate how many trees, plants, bushes, anthills, birds' nests, fungi, butterflies, and insects are now gone for good. I stop counting, but the seconds tick on. Worlds are being wiped out, and I lie here in the dark with a feeling I can only describe as sinking. Since the beginning of this heat wave, I have sunk to sleep at night in the bluish light of my screen. I pray for rain, for a puff of wind, for at least a respite from this heat. But the National Weather Service forecasts no change. Drought, drought, drought. Our front yard faces south. All day long, the sun blasts its searing rays onto the plants and the flagstones. The trees on the square are too far away. Their shadows do not reach us. The only thing that shoots up from the sidewalk in front of our house is the street lamp. whose dirty yellow light shines in past the edge of the curtains at night. That light has annoyed me for as long as we've lived here. It's like sleeping in a spotlight. I squeeze my eyes shut, search for something in the darkness. A point of view. No, just a view. That's it. I need a view, a vista. I am unable to see past this sweltering night. As though the horizon has snuck up on me, has slowly transformed from a faraway pinstripe into a thick, ugly streak that blocks my view. It seems like the fan has gotten louder. Whoosh, whoosh. I've lost my view. Lost the future. Almost as carelessly as one loses the key to a bike. This can't be. It mustn't be. To have children, but no clear prospects. What positive story can I tell them? A decent story needs continuity. And yet, it's like everything's gradually become disjointed. Trees without a forest, birds without a flock, fish without a school, humankind boxed in by first impressions. Which, in my case, means white, left-wing female, a cargo bike mom, even, without the cargo bike. Where can we go to find something or someone further than ourselves? More than what we seem at first sight. I scroll further, click on a link to an article about ecological grief in Greenland, whose people are confronted with the effects of climate change every day and grief for their lost world. The Australian environmental philosopher Glenn Albrecht has come up with a name for this emotion. Solastalgia, from the Latin solacium, meaning solace, and the Greek word for pain, algia, where once you found solace in a landscape, now you find pain. Maybe that's what's ailing me. But my sinking feeling is not limited to the landscape. It is the divisiveness in our neighborhood, our city, the country. Things coming undone. It's the daily stream of apocalyptic news. Housing shortages, the burnout epidemic, refugees stuck behind fences, the demise of democracy and of the last northern white rhino. It's my neighbor across the street who calls the climate crisis a left-wing hoax. This year she plans to take her first airplane trip ever, and suddenly she's supposed to be ashamed of it because of the climate cooks like me and our anti-airline industry petitions. Never mind that I used to breeze from continent to continent on vacation in a time when she and her family spent theirs crunched into a two-room bungalow. I sink while my children lie in bed a few feet away and think of a verse from a poem by Fernando Pessoa that a friend once read to me. Beyond a bend in the road, there may be a well, a castle. There may be simply more road. I neither know nor ask. As long as I'm on the road before the bend, I simply look at the road before the bend, since I can see only the road before the bend. How wonderful and comforting those words once were to me. Whereas now I get short of breath at the thought of that road without sight of the horizon. Solastalgia. I want to climb higher, beyond the bend, look over the valley and the mountains. I am in search of a road that takes me past the doomsday scenarios, past the half-solutions and the divisions, to a wide and breathtaking vista. An image pops into my mind. The Hubble Ultra Deep Field. A photo taken by the Hubble telescope from some 340 miles above Earth. The most beautiful vista I know. It's a photo of a pitch-black background full of illuminated shards. Light that varies from bright white to a kind of soft orange, from fluorescent lamp to light bulb. If you look carefully, the shards all differ in shape. Bizarre spirals, sparkling snail shells, some whose sharp points stick out at all points of the compass, like the Star of Bethlehem. The photo is a composite of a series of observations the telescope made from September 2003 to January 2004. What look like individual shards are in fact 3,000 galaxies, light years from us in the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?